Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
I want to say all aboard, if I may, or now docking even. I want to talk about ships for just a moment. Ships. And this will be a very interesting lesson as you're listening to someone who has never necessarily taken a cruise. Someone who really has no desire to be out in the middle of the ocean on a boat. But yet nonetheless, I do see that desire if you so want to do so. Or maybe you want to go out on the middle of a lake and go fishing or whatever the case may be. For the time allotted before us, I want to talk about the five greatest ships in the Bible. The five greatest ships in the Bible. You ready? Let's go to number one, John chapter 4 and verse 24. Grab your New Testament. I want to run these references and see if you agree with me that at the end of our time here together, we have found the five greatest ships in the Bible. John chapter 4 and verse 24. I'll read the verse and then I'll show you what the ship is. Number one, Jesus is speaking to a woman at the well at Samaria, and he has correctly identified her life, the sinful relationship she's in now, and just the general way she's conducting her life. And he asked for her to draw some water, and he says, I can give you living water, and that spurs a discussion. Now notice John 4 and verse 24, where Jesus says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Did you catch the ship in that verse? You ready? Number one, the greatest ship in the Bible is worship. I'm not actually talking about real boats. I don't know of any boats that are specifically described in Scripture. I want to talk about worship. God says through His Word that He is a spirit. And you and I right now have a privilege to approach Him in worship. And I hope you realize what a blessing that is, that we can approach God and we can know what to do and how to do it. See, God loves us so much that He properly identifies Himself, and then He tells us what He wants to make Him happy. Don't you hate it when you're trying to please somebody or maybe something, whatever it is, and they won't tell you what they want? Maybe at work, you're trying to make your boss happy, and your boss won't tell you what it is, or in a relationship, your spouse or whatever, or maybe even a pet, whatever. God has told us what He wants. He told us how He wants us to do it, which means then, since worship is one of the greatest ships in all the Bible, I don't get to determine what I do to please God. See, God has said, I am a spirit, and they that worship me must do so in spirit. See, I've got to have the right mindset. When I assemble, it should be for no other purpose than to please God. To give Him my worship. Worship in the Bible, especially if you're using an American Standard Translation, will usually have a footnote, some of the effect of falling down and giving reverence or obeisance. We should give God worship with the right mindset. I come on Sunday morning because I want to, not because I have to. I come on Wednesday night because I want to, not because I have to, but also notice and in truth. I must worship Him the way He has commanded. We sing songs without musical accompaniment because that's what He wants. We give of our means every first day of the week because that's what He wants. We remember the death of His Son by partaking of the bread and the fruit of the vine on the first day of the week because that's what He wants. We read from His Word and teach from His Word because that's what He wants. And we pray to Him through the Son because that's what He wants. God must worship in spirit and in truth. Worship's your number one great ship in the Bible. Let's go to number two. Go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice what Paul says to the church at Colossae. He says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now I'll go ahead and give it to you. That specific verse does not have the word ship, or more specifically, a word ending in the word ship. Yet at the same time, it depicts number two, that's leadership. a great ship in the Bible is leadership. See, not only did God tell you and I how He wants to be worshiped, He gave us a specific way in which His church is to be ordered. Read that again. He is the head of the body. What's the body, Paul? That's the church. You ever looked at a human being and realized the thing that makes all the decisions for the body is the head? That's where the brain is. That's where the food goes into. That's where the air goes into to keep this body going. That's on purpose. If my head wills for me to go to the left or to the right, my body follows that. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So if you have any wonder, well, who is this head? Well, there's only one person I can think of fits that description, firstborn from the dead, doesn't it? You? It's Jesus Christ. But see, with leadership, God tells me how He wants things governed. He is the head. Now notice this. Head is singular. I've only ever seen people with one head. Of the body, singular, which is the church. See where this is going? It's singular. One head, Jesus Christ, over one body that is the church. Paul would also talk about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Ephesians chapter 5, that there is leadership. We obey what Jesus Christ told us to do through His apostles and the inspired writers of the New Testament. That means that I can't pray to Mary. That means that I can't elevate any one member of our own congregation up to a level where I want to worship them or where I want to just fall down at their feet and do everything they command me. Now, of course, with leadership in the church, Jesus wanted elders, plural, at least two in every congregation, deacons as well, and members to serve, Philippians 1 verse 1. So there is a specific leadership, and that's a great ship in the Bible.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Well, let's look at number 3. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you don't mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. As Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, he writes two letters that are included in Scripture. It's evident he probably wrote another one as well that was not inspired. He's writing to them to correct problems in the church at Corinth, a massive city that was heavily influenced by thoughts of the world, but he's writing to Christians. So keep that in mind. And he's trying to address their division. He will go on to address approval of immoral behavior and the misuse, I should say, of miraculous gifts. But notice here in chapter 4 and verse 2, our third great ship. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Our third ship is stewardship. A stewardship. That's being obedient. See, God's told me how He wants me to worship Him. He's given me the proper leadership. Now, where's my role? I be a good steward in stewardship. What is that? Well, right here it says that a man be faithful. That means when God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a good servant, a good steward of the time that God gives me, of the abilities that God gives me. I'm going to use them for the benefit of His kingdom. I'm going to be faithful in all that I do. That means when God commands that I meet every Sunday upon the first day of the week, I'm going to be a good steward of that command and faithful, and I'm going to show up, assuming that something, health is not impeding me, of course. When He says, go out and preach the gospel to all the lost, I'm going to be a good steward of that command, and I'm going to share the gospel with those that are lost around me. See, stewardship is important. And I'm afraid too many Christians in the church, especially people outside the church, but too many Christians inside the church don't want to deal with stewardship. They want to worship God when they want to, how they want to. They sometimes want to acknowledge Him as the leadership role, but they don't want to do their part. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must do it in spirit and in truth. That's being faithful. That's number 3. Number 4. Go to the end of Matthew's gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I believe here is another area that the church, the worldwide, may be neglecting. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The Great Commission, as Matthew puts it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Our great ship number 4 is discipleship. It's discipleship, being a follower, an obedient follower of Christ. I'm a firm believer that places in the Lord's church, they don't deal with discipleship. See, if you train and truly make disciples, which is what he is commanding here, then you'll have people who are grounded in the Word, who are faithful. Well, I want you to notice something in the Greek, or in the English rather, in verse 19. Go ye therefore. Go ye means go me, that's us. But literally carries the idea in the Greek of as you are going. Not that I can't just specifically take off to go preach the gospel to the lost, but as I live my daily life, I need to be teaching those who are lost. Now notice, teach all nations. How do I do this? When you have a phrase like teach all nations in Scripture, following it by some ing words tells you how to fulfill it. So I teach all nations. How? Number one, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And number two, teaching them. Do you see both those ing, baptizing and teaching? That's how I teach all nations. I teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded. That'll make me a good steward. I must go baptize into Christ. Baptize, make disciples, make followers. Discipleship's the fourth great ship. But let's do number 5. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. If you will. Acts chapter 2 verse 42, the beginning of the church. To set the scene, Peter's been preaching on the day of Pentecost. He has laid it to them. And he has laid them open and condemned them of their sins, as there were some people there about 50 days before who probably had really shouted, "Crucify him," to the face of Jesus. And so Peter convicts them of their sins. He encourages them to be converted. And after he's preached, they're pricked in their hearts and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized," verse 38, "for the remission of your sins." He continues teaching them. We see here, verse 40, he taught many others. Verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized, about 3,000 souls that day. But verse 42, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There's your ship. In fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. I won't get into the discussion tonight, maybe save it for another day. But I can find all 5 acts of worship there. They were worshiping from the get-go. They were following in the apostles' doctrine. What the apostles commanded them to do. They enjoyed fellowship one with another. That truly is a great blessing of the Lord's church. Maybe a reason it is, of course, one of the greatest ships. Because we have faithful brothers and sisters, not only in this county, not only in this state or in this country, but all over this globe that you and I live on that's floating out in space. There are faithful members of the Lord's church that we will never meet this side of eternity. But we have something in common. We have been saved from our sins by obedience to Him, and we live for Him. That's why I love going to visit places, even if I've never darkened that door, but I want to go to a meeting or VBS or whatever, a singing. But I walk in and I know immediately these are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we enjoy fellowship. And you go out of the state and you travel and you go, "I wish I was home." And then you go to worship and you say, "I am home because I'm with others enjoying fellowship." But you see, the wayward Christian who doesn't attend, they don't enjoy fellowship. Those who are outside of Christ, they don't enjoy the Christian fellowship you and I enjoy. And I hope you take that as a true blessing. 5 pretty good ships, aren't they? And we never even had to leave land. Worship, leadership, stewardship, discipleship, and fellowship. Let's key in on that discipleship one for just a moment more. Jesus said to teach all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to offer the Great Commission right now. The Lord's invitation is open. If you're not a Christian, Maybe you need to be taught some more. We'd be glad to teach you what to do to be saved. Hear, believe, repent, confess, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. We mention that in Acts 2 in verse 38. And then you enjoy that great fellowship. If you're not a Christian, why not become one?
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.